And this morning, I want us to remember what the church is supposed to be. I want to remember the beauty and the refreshing just as much as it's so beautiful to walk outside this morning and think, what a great day. And even no matter what kind of mental attitude you're in, to walk outside and just be refreshed because you're just walking into an atmosphere that's beautiful and refreshing. I want us to remember this morning the atmosphere, the refreshing that's supposed to be in God's house at all time and as part of God's people. Today is always, this first Sunday of September is always my anniversary as lead pastor here. And it's a time I always naturally go back to the remembering, what is church supposed to be? Why am I doing this? And in the middle of getting caught up in so much, am I keeping the heart, the Father's heart, center? I had my birthday a little while ago, and my mom bought me a Fitbit for my birthday. I think when your mom says you're old, really old then, you know, it's like, you need a Fitbit, track your steps, take care of yourself. You know, the whole idea is it doesn't just track random things, it tracks the one thing I'm supposed to be doing, moving around, getting the heart pumping, and taking those steps. And, you know, sometimes church can become so many things that we don't keep track of what really is most important. And so I want us to look at a few scriptures. End up in John chapter 13, so you can make sure that your Bible is marked and ready there. But we're going to start just remembering what Jesus has said about his church. And we always want to remember that church is not a service, it's the people. It's the stories that we share and the way we love one another and the way we serve the world. I had the privilege, some of you saw it on Facebook, Carolyn Wheeling and I went to the Rotary Club on Thursday, and we talked about Project Hope, and we were the church in the middle of our community. I didn't get to play the Cubs team for basketball on Friday, but a few of us were out at the Y on Friday morning playing, and we were the church in the middle of what we were doing. I thought I met about 17 of you at Walmart yesterday. I just ran into all of you at Walmart yesterday. I don't know if you were having to do the same stuff. And you know what? We were the church in the middle of that time. Because when we talk church, we're not talking about a service or a building. We're talking about who God has made us to be. And you know, the first thing I want you to see is we just can never forget the value of the church. You know, there's so many things. Sunday mornings, I remember Todd Wilson and I saying, you know, the day I fight the least amount of traffic, Sunday morning, I get to church. And, you know, if my GPS says 5 minutes, I get there 5 minutes. I don't have to worry about running into anything. And it's kind of a sad commentary, not on the beautiful work that God continues to do. He's always about to do the next great thing. But just the realization that church has become an option to a lot of people, instead of the value Jesus put on it, which was the most important thing. You see, Jesus said that, talking about the church, he said, on this rock I will build my church, on the rock that I'm the Messiah, that I'm the Son of God, I will build this church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. It will not prove stronger than it. Jesus gave a picture of a church that's always moving forward, and the gates of hell are trying to hold back the truth, the grace, the healing, the peace, the salvation that God has to offer. And the gates of hell never can do it. Somehow, the church always gets past it and reaches one more and loves one more and cares for one more and saves one more and gives one more the good news. And, you know, there are a lot of wonderful organizations out there. We as a church, we've created two nonprofits to help with all of our different initiatives, and nothing ever replaces the church. Because the church is the one organization on earth. An organization is kind of a weird term. It's the one family on earth that hell never beats. And it's the value that sometimes you and I forget, and we start thinking about church just as a service and just as a program and just as money or time. And it's like, no, this is the body of Christ, and this is the hope of the world. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 said God placed all things under Jesus' feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is Christ's body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And every time we gather together, we become the body of Christ. We begin to declare him. So many of us all week long have heard bad news, bad news, bad news. And we get to church, and the reason we do a little this, and the reason we do a little this, and the reason we get a little excited is because our soul, our heart, our spirit, all that we are, begins to hear the good news again. And we don't just hear it, but the presence of a Father who loves us begins to refresh us and heal us. Jesus, the head of this body and the body of Christ, the churches across our area, he's got a plan for us. It's never about Pastor Sean's not the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. That's why we have elders, we have deacons, we have other pastors, because we together continue to say, even though we're different personalities and we have different passions, together we want to say, let's not miss what Jesus, the King, is speaking to us. And Jesus has a vision for the church, and he gave us a vision. He gave us a vision of what the church should be about and what it should look like. And you know, vision is the reason you exist. The vision is the purpose. It's why you exist. And Jesus gave it to the church in Matthew 24, 14, when he said, in this gospel, this good news of Jesus Christ, and how he's defeated every enemy, he's defeated sin and the world and the flesh. He's defeated fear and hopelessness and addiction. The good news of Jesus, of the kingdom, will be preached into the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And that word nations really is ethne. It's the ethnic groups. Like every type of people, every group of people that gathers together, the gospel has to go there. And then the end will come. Then I'll come back. Jesus gives a picture of the church that we're all on mission. And that our mission isn't something that we labor out, that we moan about. It's actually we get to share good news every place we go. And every time the world puts one more piece of news about bad news, we're the ones who get to say, no, there's good news. There's one who's over every gate of hell there is. You don't have to stay there. There is hope. And that's the picture. You know, last year we did great, a year of discipleship, and we shared the good news of Jesus Christ with over 30,000 of our neighbors. 30,000 of them. Because that's the vision God has for the church. That's what you do with your neighbors, your coworkers, the people you play with, the people you go to school with. It's this vision that we are the church, and hell can't keep us from sharing the news, the good news. We also got to help the good news go to two unreached people groups in the world, is in Ethiopia, and our missions. Like, that's why we do what we do, because that's the vision Jesus gave for the church. That we got a part to play, and our lives make a difference in sharing that good news. And most of the time, the beautiful way we get that to share that good news is by sharing how he saved us. And we don't have to be ashamed or condemned by our sin or by our struggles. We actually can use them as a platform to say, look how good God is. Now, we say it at Cornerstone a certain way. We say it this way. We exist because someone needs to know the love of Jesus today. So the reason we have service is because someone's coming in who needs to know the love of Jesus, the good news. And although I come in and half the time I don't think about what anybody else looks like or what they're going through, and I basically judge how I'm feeling about church by what I'm thinking, there's a miracle going on every Sunday as someone who needs to know the love of Jesus comes in and receives it. That's why the nursery does the nursery and all the kids' rooms have changed to do it even a little better. Did you know that a visitor at church, the first person they usually confide in is usually a children's worker? Because when they're dealing with their kids and they kind of talk about a little bit about family and start talking about being a little stressed and it was crazy to come on to church on Sunday morning, the first person they learn to have a conversation with at our church usually is a children's worker. So why do you volunteer and serve there? You serve there because someone needs to know the love of Jesus, and I'm doing this right now because I may be a piece of that this morning. That's why we do youth ministry and senior ministry. That's why the ushers do what they do and greeters do what they do. Because all of us are part of this vision that says Someone today, whether it's because they get to come into church or because I get to go out, someone needs to know the love of Jesus, and I get to be part of that. That's my vision. That's my purpose. Well, Jesus said, that's the vision. And then he said, now let me give you the mission. And we know this one pretty well. It's go and make disciples. How do you accomplish the vision of sharing the good news with people? How do you accomplish letting them know that? Well, we make disciples. And there's that word again, ethne, ponte de ethne, ethnic groups of every type of group, every group that it's like, they're they and I'm us over here. I need to learn to get past that invisible gate of hell and come over here. And they need good news just like I need good news. They're parents like I'm a parent, or they're a student like I'm a student, or they're, it's just like everybody needs his good news. We believe that. We say it a little different at Cornerstone. We say it, well, we're just trying to make Jesus the center of everyday life. Because last time I checked, whatever's in the center of the screen or the center of your life is what everybody sees the most of. So if I put him at the center, people are going to see him the most. If I put him off to the side, people are like, who's that over there? Oh, I didn't know you're a Christian. Oh, you're a Christian? You're a Christian? That's never a good sign when they're that shocked. Yeah? You know what that's saying? That's saying he's off to the side. Put him on in the center. Oh, well, yeah, of course I knew you're a Christian. Why? Because it was in the center. I saw it super clear. It was the first thing I saw when I looked at you. It's this idea that, that's what a disciple is. He's focused on Jesus. He's always got Jesus at the center, or she always got Jesus at the center. And because of this, good news is what people see, because good news is what he's doing in my own life. So I stay fresh. I don't get into ritual. I don't get into so much routine. Rhythm's fine, but not routine, because what I want to do is I just want to enjoy him. I want to be the center of my life. As students, as you're going to school, it's like, how is he at the center? And not religious. How's Jesus at the center, though? What does it look like for his good news to be there? And do I complain just as much as everybody else complains? Do I criticize us? Or is something, do I get discouraged just like everybody else? Or just, is there good news? God's working in my life to give me a victory that people are noticing because it's at the center of my life. You know this, whether you have the pictures upstairs. We talk about that. We've got to make a choice every day. We've got to make a choice every day to put him at the center. I put on Facebook the other day, I said, you could be overwhelmed by the world or the God who created it. Choice is yours. Who you want to be overwhelmed by today? But one of the two is going to be who you're overwhelmed with. It's either the world or the God who created it, but one of them is going to overwhelm you. Both of them are way bigger than you are. And so I got to make a choice every day. Then I want to worship faithfully. I don't want to just believe in Jesus. I want to worship him. That's my main characteristic, my own main adjective. What is my relationship with Jesus like? It's a worship relationship. I just put him first. And then I want to love biblically. In a world that says love is a bunch of different things, I want to make sure the way I'm relating to the people is through the Bible, through his word that's been super clear. I want to serve joyfully because the power of the Holy Spirit's in my life, because the good news is at work. Doesn't mean everything's done. Doesn't mean every victory is already finished in my life. But I trust. I'm thankful. I know he's faithful. And then I want to lead wisely because I know my life is about leading somebody else to Jesus Christ. And there's no such thing as a Christian who's not a leader. Because when Jesus gave us the mission, go and make disciples, he said, tag, you're it. You're the leader. You lead that person. Parents, you're a leader. Students, you're a Christian in your school, you're a leader. You don't have to look like the person on stage. That's one form of leadership. There's lots of different ways we can lead. But we're leaders. And these things are all beautiful. And it's these things are powerful, but none of them matter. We can have the greatest vision, which we do, and the greatest mission, and the greatest value. But if we don't have the greatest model, if we don't follow the greatest model, none of it means anything. You see, that's where John 13 comes in. Because this church that is supposed to and really is the most powerful thing that the world creates, it's also usually the most broken thing. Because it's a bunch of people, right? Just if you know the person next to you, just poke at them real quick. If you don't, please don't do that. Just poke at him. Be like, is my mic going out? Is that what's going on? Don't you just love Stephen Allen? We love you, Stephen.
It's part of the family. Well, how ironic. I was talking about how church can be broken and my mic broke. That's great. Okay. Thank you, Jesus, for the illustration. This church, our church, any church, we have the greatest value. Not because of because of what Jesus wants to do through us. And we've got this vision that's beautiful. There's no more important purpose in life than to tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, I was looking at those coexist bumper stickers out there. And, because I was in Walmart, so there were like 17 million of them. And I thought, you know, in one sense, you know, sure, like, be respectful and be thoughtful. Yeah, I agree with that. But I think I'm going to make a new bumper sticker that says, not coexisting in heaven. And it's just the whole idea, like, we will not be coexisting in heaven if we follow that path. And that's not a prideful thing. That's just, there's only salvation in Jesus Christ. So my desire to coexist with you means I'd like to coexist with you in heaven, and we can't do that based on that bumper sticker. Does that make sense? Yeah, it's like, no, see, Jesus is the only way we will ever coexist. And so I've got to have that heart. That's a beautiful vision that God's given me, that God's given the church. We get to share that good news. I was sharing with the Rotary Club. I said, you know, this world's version of tolerance is compromise, compromise, compromise. And yet, here I am. We're sharing pictures about sharing meals with Muslim elders and being in the midst of an unreached people group that, has their six times of prayer and the call of prayer is going out. And they're giving me hugs, not because I was tolerant, but because I was more like Jesus than ever before in my life. And I just, instead of compromising, I got really serious about not compromising the gospel. And the more I didn't compromise it, the more peace and relationship was built with the people around me. How ironic. I mean, so upside down from this world. I have this beautiful mission. The more I make Jesus at the center of my life, the more I love people well, the more I can respect them and serve them, even though they're so different from me, the more all the gates of hell fall down, the more more a center I make him. And so I've got this beautiful mission. But if I don't follow his model, none of it matters. None of it matters. And so I want you to look at John 13, 14, 15, and hopefully you're familiar. And you'll notice at the end of the notes this week in worship, in your personal worship of the Lord, I invite you to go over each of the chapters I referenced this morning as a way to just remember what's the value, what's the priority of my life, what's the vision God has for me as part of the church mission, just to go back over those chapters. So you can read John 13 again. But Jesus finishes washing the disciples' feet. And before he does, it's very clear that he already knows that Judas Iscariot is already going to betray him. And Peter's like, you can't do that to me. And Jesus is like, if you don't let me touch the rough and hard places of your life, we can never share this relationship the way God wants us to. And he begins to do that for Peter, and he finishes up, and everybody's flipping out because Jesus just did something that nobody can believe. And I can't actually use this hand mic for the rest, so however this goes, you'll just have to hear it.
But the scripture says that, right, Jesus takes off his outer garment. And he, you know, it's not pretentious, it's not religious, and he stops, you know, just looking super good for Sunday morning church. And what he does is says, look, you know, I am master, and I am teacher. Is that going to work? Oh, rats. This is a little more. Jesus didn't have a lapel mic to deal with when he was doing this. He said, I am all those things. But I'm also a servant. And I want you to hear this, that the gospel doesn't make any sense if we only proclaim him as teacher and master. He's also a servant. Jesus which is kind of, you like, we all hesitate to say it because we're like, but he's God. He's like, yeah. But the good news, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ that every different kind of people group needs to hear is that he's not just master and teacher, he's not Lord and teacher, he's also servant. And Jesus says, I've given you an example that you should do. Because that's how the value and the vision and the mission of the church happens. Because Jesus is a servant. And so I want us to finish up this morning by living out his model. And it's what I try to do each anniversary of my leadership, because I want to remember what Jesus is all about. And, hey, let me have that clicker back. Thank you. Jesus isn't only Lord, teacher, Savior. He's also servant. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. I mean, can somebody else be excited about that? Because, I mean, that's why it's good news. It's not just good news because he's right and because he's good, but that person who's good is a servant. And he's, I mean, it's hard to say it, right? Jesus has served me. He has served me in touching the dirtiest, hardest parts of my life. And I think we got one more there. When we forgive and we become a friend who helps someone get free of what is dirty and rough in their lives, we wash their feet. And then we are most like Jesus and what his church should be. That's who Jesus is. And I always take these moments to remember who he is. Because church can become a lot of different things. But this is kind of our Fitbit. This is like, let's keep track of what's most important. How are we serving? Are we declaring the good news of Jesus Christ? That, hey, he is Savior. He is Lord. He's truth. So if you want a teacher, he's it. But it all wraps up. The only reason it all becomes good news for me and you is because he's also a servant. That's what the world desperately needs to hear. That's when the world changes. That's when the gates of hell can't stop it. When the fact that he's Lord and the fact that he's teacher and the fact that he's servant all come together in somebody's life. You know, if you want to look at your life right now, you could probably see every place you feel far from Jesus. If you analyze those three things in your life, am I treating him like he's my master? That's why that's, or do I really believe he's the truth? You know, am I really willing to obey even though it seems like it's really a wrong idea? Or am I blown away that he's my servant? And he's Lord. He's always Lord. He's at the right hand of the Father now. The way he serves us now is through intercession. But he served us most importantly through the cross. But it's like when those three truths come together in your life, nothing's impossible. All that stuff we sung about this morning, it really happens. And so I want to take the rest of our time today to worship. And I want to encourage all of us here today. I want to encourage all of us here today to be just, I don't know how you say it, to just say, Lord, you're my master, you're my teacher, and you're my sacrifice, right? You serve me more than anybody else. And just in a fresh and new way, I want to know you. And what we're going to do is as we worship this morning, because we're a family, not an institution, I'm just going to, in a moment, invite you to stand and worship for a little bit. We've made plenty of time for it. But then I'm going to invite one or two of you up here. I'd like to wash your feet this morning. And I'd just like to take a moment and bless you. And I want to live out the greatest victory and the joy. But obviously, I put more than one chair up here, because I thought maybe some of you need to do that for somebody else this morning. Now, the ground rules are this. Obviously, within families, you can you know, the husband to the wife, or, you know, mom to son. I mean, you can do that, but outside of family, then it's just same gender, it's guys, if a guy wants to express that act of servanthood to another guy in our church. And what you do in that moment is there's no real skill to it, right? All you're doing is you're just allowing the part of life that, you know, it's something that usually that's just mine and nobody else, you know, is part of that. That just goes in the water. You just hold on to that for a moment. And as they're feet in the water, all you do is pray, God, would you just bless them? And would you let anything that's difficult and painful and rough in their lives, would they know today the full extent of the miracle of the cross? And would that begin to just separate all that, take it away? And so as we begin worship, these are going to be out here. I have invited our eldership that if they particularly someone they want to minister today, that's available as well. And we're just going to take about 15 minutes and just worship. And I want to encourage you during that time to allow the Lord to just speak to you. And if you do feel led to do that for somebody else while we're in worship and people are standing, you feel free to find that person and just invite them up. And if they're not necessarily comfortable with that, just say that and just say, well, let me pray for you right where I am right now. You just take a moment and pray for them and just bless them this morning.